Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
We want to talk about dreams and dreaming, because plenty of you have been getting in contact with us here lately on the programme, asking questions about weird and wonderful and bizarre dreams and why people are having more unusual dreams of late. So Paul Gill, who's a dream analyst and a psychotherapist, is here with us on News Talk this afternoon to perhaps, answer some of those weird dream questions. Paul, good afternoon.
Hello, Andrea.
Listen, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent is the number of people tuned into you this afternoon would like to get in touch with you about their weird and wonderful dreams, or you can get us on the email address, either it's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. But before we come to those questions, Paul, are people having more unusual dreams lately?
Yeah, definitely, Andrea, because of the unusual times that we're in with the COVID lockdown, anxiety peaked in many people, and anxiety is fear-based thinking, and fear is our strongest emotion. It's not love. People would say that love is the strongest emotion. It's the most desirable, but fear gets you to act and to do things. And so when there's fear of the future, not knowing how long the lockdown will last, not knowing, are you going to be okay, is your job going to be okay, all of these things produce anxiety, and that anxiety has to be expressed, and there's no better way to express it than in dreams.
How long has this been going on for, Paul?
The anxiety,
Well, just in relation, I suppose, to people kind of having more unusual dreams, or does it happen all the time?
Well, it does happen on a regular basis, but it's kind of been intensified because of the lockdown. We worry. A lot of dreams can be worry. A lot of dreams can be wishing for things. So as I said, fear is the strongest feeling in our minds. And that has to come out somewhere. It has to be expressed. And in my profession, I'm seeing more and more people in a very bad way with fear and anxiety because of the current situation.
Are dreams influenced by, instances or certain things that might have happened during your day?
Oh, of course. Yeah, everything. The mind, you've got two minds, basically two minds, a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind absorbs much more data than the conscious awareness does. The conscious awareness has a very limited amount of focus. It can only hold in place maybe, 7 plus or minus 2 pieces of data. Some people even say less. But the subconscious mind absorbs lots of things. It's very aware. And at night, it's trying to process all of that data. It's trying to file it away with reference to previous experience. So if you see a man, walking a dog during the day, your mind will give you a dream with a dog in it. And maybe the man might become the dog. Maybe if the man has a beard and there's a lot of facial hair and the dog has hair, your mind kind of compares these two things. Similar things go together. And this is the genesis of weird and wonderful dreams. Our creative subconscious mind, they're exactly that. They're creative. So we'll put together things that we wouldn't consciously put together.
Does your sleep pattern have to be in a certain state or place, Paul, to allow you dream? Like if you're dreaming, does that mean you're in a very deep sleep or you're having a bad sleep?
Yeah, there's healthy dreaming, Andrea, where you go through 5 phases of dreaming at night, and this is the natural process. And it's not, there's nothing wrong with not being able to remember your dreams. Some people are more adept at remembering their dreams than others. There's nothing wrong if you don't remember your dreams. You might know that you've had dreams, but you just can't hold on to them. That's fine. But sometimes people will have dreams that can be disturbing dreams. They might feel that they're dreaming all night. And that's a sign that the subconscious mind is not at rest, that it's been overloaded with information and data and fears and worries, and it's just not able to settle down, and the person doesn't get good quality sleep. So dreaming is essential for health, for the health of the mind and the health of the body.
Can you control your dreams then?
Yeah, there's a thing called lucid dreaming, which is fascinating. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, where you become aware in the dream that I'm dreaming. And you can train yourself to recognize lucid dreaming. And it's great. Many people, when they realize they're dreaming, will decide, I'm going to fly. I'm going to do all of these wonderful things. It's very freeing, very empowering thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And even in the States, there's been some groups who would lucid dreamers would meet up in dreams, and they would say that they would swap information. So if you were a lucid dreamer and I was a lucid dreamer, I'd say, Andrew, I'm going to appear in your dream tonight, and I'm going to give you a 4-digit code, and in the morning I'll ring you and you tell me what that code was. And they profess to have had a lot of success with this, which is amazing.
Why did you say some people remember them and some don't?
Because Some people are more aware of themselves, more aware of what's going on in their heads. They know themselves better. I would certainly say if you really want to know yourself, you need to analyze your dreams. Your dreams are your truth. Your dreams tell you how life is as you see it. So whether the dream is scary or whether it's enjoyable, there's an immense amount of data in every dream. Every dream is of relevance. Every dream is important, and every dream can be interpreted.
So should you be taking note of this?
Yeah, I think so. And I, when I'm working with people, sometimes for anxiety, I will get them to keep a dream journal. So to put a pen and paper beside the bed, and they will jot down whatever dreams or even keywords that would help them remember dreams. And if they do that for a month and you go through the dreams, you'll see that the subconscious mind is dwelling on the same thing the whole time. There's a recurring theme throughout all the dreams. And this is what the client needs to deal with. And when they deal with it, the dreams settle down. The dreams just dissipate.
Okay. Paul, there's a huge number of messages coming into us here in the News Talk text line from people. The number is 53106. We're going to come to some of the texts, Paul, from our listeners in a moment. Okay. But Kate is actually on the line in Wexford. Now, Kate, you have a question for Paul. You're having an unusual, a reoccurring dream. Is that right?
Yeah, hi Andrea.
How are you?
Well, probably about twice a week I dream about houses, and they're always extraordinary, and they're always very detailed and have huge kind of undiscovered rooms. So I can go and discover all these amazing rooms. And then usually through the dream I realise that this house belongs to me. And
wow.
I'm like just
this is a great dream.
Myself.
I like your dream.
I tried to make them real, you know, but so that would be the kind of standard that I'm just kind of discovering this incredible place that I can suddenly live in. But then sometimes it turns sour and I will be in a house dream where I'm under pressure to kind of cater for all of these people who are in this house. The house doesn't belong to me. I'm a kind of a waitress and I'm very, very sleepy or drugged and I can't keep my act together and I keep getting lost in this enormous house and I can't find my way to the kitchen or the bar or whatever it is in the house where I'm supposed to start helping people to have their party or whatever it is and cater for people. So I wake up from that dream really frustrated and angry and so yeah, we're two sides of a house thing.
Well, Paul, what do you make of that?
Oh, there seems to be two elements there. It's almost as if there's two separate dreams. There's the basic dream where you discover that you actually own or you're in this fabulous house. Houses typically can represent you. It's in discovering new areas, new rooms in the house that you didn't know were previously there. It can be new aspects of yourself. It can be new talents, new abilities, new ways of doing things. And this is very exciting. It's a very empowering phase of your dream. But also then I think that going along with that, there might be this idea of maybe fear of success or maybe self-sabotage, that when you do have this fabulous house, suddenly you've got all these responsibilities, all these other people there, and you have to look after them. You have to show them around. You have to talk to them. So I think that maybe you could feel a little bit overwhelmed. I don't know what job you have, but I don't know what houses have to do with your job. But maybe it's just this dreaming, wanting this fabulous house, wanting things to be the way that you want them to be. But then maybe fear of, oh, I'm going to change. I'll be a different person. Will I be able to handle all of this? Will I have too much responsibility? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That's great. Thanks very much.
Brilliant, Kate. Listen, thanks a million for getting in touch with us here. It's 1890 453 106. If you have a query for Paul Gill here today, our dream analyst and psychotherapist. Paul, I'm going to fly through some of these texts because there's a lot of them. This listener is wondering, why do I always dream that my teeth are falling out?
Oh, teeth falling out is a very common dream. Our teeth, if you can imagine, if your teeth had fallen out, you wouldn't go out in public. You wouldn't be able to show your face. It can have to do with two things in particular. It can have to do with repressed anger. When we get angry, we strip our teeth in the same way that a dog would growl and snarl. And if you didn't have any teeth, you couldn't express that anger. And maybe in a dream where you don't have teeth, your teeth crumble or it'll fall out, means that you've got anger that's not been able to express, so it goes inwards.
There's actually two on the crumbling teeth. Rob has got in touch about that very same issue too. What does it mean when you dream about being in a very stormy, dark waters and being quite afraid, says this texter?
Oh, well, that's a metaphor for life, isn't it? It's a metaphor for life. And you get many examples of that where people are at sea. Sometimes they're in a boat and then suddenly they're actually in the sea and there's waves and they're feeling overwhelmed, drowning. Water is a wonderful metaphor in dreams. And water, you can't push water away. It'll just keep coming in on top of you. So if that dreamer feels overwhelmed, almost as if they're drowning, there's a storm of activity, it's not a good place for them to be.
Sue says she's been dreaming for the last 2 weeks about people being up high, also a cart with horses going up into the sky.
Okay, it would be interesting if I knew how she felt about that, if she kind of goes, oh, this is wonderful, or oh, this is downright weird. Like a cart, they kind of connotations of people going on to heaven, people traveling to the next life. It depends on her religious belief or where she is in life. So I'd really need more information on that from Sue to give a more accurate interpretation.
Here's an interesting one. This texter says, all of my friends were in my dream last night and they turned against me. It seemed to be as a result of a night out and it was like they were plotting to destroy me. Any advice on what it could mean?
Oh, God, you'll have to get new friends. I think that person suspects that they're doing something that their friends won't like, that they're engaged in some kind of particular activity that everybody's going to turn against them. It can be a prophetic dream, a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you like, where the dream that all of the friends are going to turn against them. So I think the dreamer might know what that is. What is that thing that if all your friends found out, they wouldn't like it about you?
This listener wondering, again, dreaming about water, specifically towards the end of the dream, I end up in a remote place with lakes and rivers, either flying or drifting over them. I couldn't find the significance of the water in the dream. When I looked it up online, I'm able to dream lucidly sometimes as well. That comes in from a Dublin listener. This texter in Trim in County Meath, Paul, says, what does it mean when you keep dreaming about your parents that have passed away?
It can be part of the grieving process. I wonder how long it is since the parents have passed, but there's no limit on how long it takes to grieve. People can be grieving for years and years and years. In the dream, it would be interesting to know, is the dreamer just remembering how it was, or are they bringing to bear a new interpretation? Do they see their parents as alive? And that's not uncommon as well, because the person that you dream about, if they've passed on, all of your memories of them are of being alive, living human beings. And I would say that the people are only really dead for 3 days, especially in Ireland, where we have the day they die and then they have the removal, then they have the funeral. So there's a lot of shock there. So when you dream of somebody who's passed on and they're still alive and they're talking, and maybe they don't know that they're dead, and you're wondering whether that you should tell them, it's not accepting it yourself. That's the dreamer still grieving.
Yeah, this listener too, just on grief, says, I lost my baby 3.5 weeks ago, a year ago, and my sleep hasn't been great since. I haven't dreamt of him or even remember any of the dreams. I just feel quite numb. Can you please help?
Yeah, I would advise that texture to seek some help out with a psychotherapist or a counsellor. There's a lot of unprocessed feelings and emotions there. And again, whether it's 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months or 3 years, those emotions and feelings can still be quite raw. And when you lose a child like that, it seems very unfair. And I think the fact that the person feels numb means that they're stuck in their emotions. So definitely seek out some help. There's lots of counsellors out there who can help you.
Just on a different note, this texter says, I'm a software engineer and sometimes during a busy week I might have a nightmare about codes. Sometimes they're genuinely terrifying. Why is that?
Okay, I think that it's an anxiety dream regarding the job and maybe the responsibility of the job. Code creates things. You write code to create programs, to create apps. And if it's a nightmare thing, then maybe you're worried that something's going to go wrong in the job and then there's going to be repercussions of that. So a lot of people have anxiety dreams around their job. Somebody even contacted me on Twitter saying that he's retired for 11 years and he still dreams about problem solving in the job. And sometimes that can be your sense of identity is caught up in your job. And when you stop doing that job, maybe you lose your identity and you have to reinvent yourself.
Two different messages here, Paul, but both in and around the same thing. One listener says, I have a regular dream where I'll be in a position where I have to run and I'm being chased and I find it really hard. My legs, they move really slowly. It's such a struggle. And this listener has a dream where they can't get out of a building. Every door in the building is closed.
Yeah, there are variants on the same theme where the person is in a situation where they don't see a way out and they can't find a way out. So the dream is a metaphor. It's a literal, it's a narrative that the subconscious mind is telling the dreamer a story to say, this is the way life is. You feel trapped in this building, no matter what you do, it doesn't seem to provide an exit. So, and the dream about being chased, it's usually been chased by a witch or a monster or maybe even an entity that they can't quite put their finger on. And variants on it is that they're running through a swamp or wet concrete or their legs suddenly won't work. And again, it's like paralysis in a situation. They don't know what to do to get out of the current situation.
Just finally, one more. A lot of listeners asking about being terrified and waking up after a dream with fear that they're late for work, sleeping in.
Oh, again, it's an anxiety dream. And then there's lots of variants of that where you could dream that you wake up and you get up and next thing you actually wake up and you think, oh my God, I was only dreaming, I hadn't actually got up. And that can recur many, many times. It's an anxiety dream about what it is that they have to wake up for, what it is that they have to go to work for, what's ahead of them in the day. And they're mentally rehearsing it again and again and again. And then in the end, the subconscious mind can't tell the difference between reality and imagination.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm just actually, as I was reading some of those messages about people being late and sleeping in, I think that's a common dream that I used to have, particularly when I used to work in the early shift, sleeping in and missing the bulletin. But I actually thought it was down to the fact that it did happen once. So maybe it was more a fear of that happening again. But anyway, listen, Paul, it's been really interesting chatting to you here on the show. Dream analyst and psychotherapist Paul Gill, thanks a million for joining us on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.